You are listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 479. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. From a $3 membership to generating over $125,000 in sales, not through hustle or through creating 47 offers and not through burning the business down every 5 minutes. It came from one strategic shift. Welcome back to my podcast, my friend. I'm super excited for you to be here today where I'm diving into this amazing case study in regards to how Megan went from a $3 membership to $125,000 in revenue. This client is an absolute weapon. She's an amazing human doing amazing things and had a simple goal of building a $100,000 a year business. And I remember sitting down doing the math and on our discovery call saying something like, in order to make this membership model work, you're going to need almost 3,000 monthly members. That conversation changed absolutely everything for Megan, not because the business itself was wrong, but because the strategy and business model needed to evolve. And this is an important reminder. It's an important conversation because I know so many business owners are working incredibly hard, but they're working hard inside of models that simply don't support the goals that they're trying to achieve. So in this episode, you're going to hear straight from Megan what happened when she worked with me as her business consultant. We're going to talk about the one strategy that came about and changed everything for her. We're going to talk about what the first few launches look like and then what happened when we made one drastic change. She's going to actually share with you all her real data and all the real numbers behind that $125,000 and what that looks like. So I encourage you to get your pens and paper out because often we're always looking for breakthroughs in business. And often these don't come from doing more. It comes from making smarter strategic decisions based on real data. And that's what Megan and I are going to do today. So let's welcome Megan to the show. Hey, 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 welcome to the show, Megan.
Hey, Ange, thanks for having me.
I'm super excited to have you here today. I've missed seeing your beautiful face inside of the mastermind. So when I looked at my calendar this week, at the beginning of the week, knowing that I was going to see you today, I was just so excited. And you can tell because we've been chatting for 45 minutes before we've even hit record. So glad to have you back in each other's space today.
I am very happy to be here and quite humbled as well.
So no, my goodness, it is a privilege to have you. So for those listeners out there that don't know the magnificent Megan, tell everyone a little bit about you, what you do, who you help, and what your business looks like today.
So for those that don't know me, my name's Megan and I'm the founder of Sew & Tell Co, which is an online sewing and education business based in Melbourne, but I teach people from around the world how to sew their own clothes through online courses, YouTube, and I do a twice yearly expo, which we're going to have a little bit more of a chat about today. And earlier this year, I also launched an online community that helps all my followers and people keep going when it gets hard. So today, the business is basically four things working together. It's the expo, the membership, courses, and a YouTube channel feeding the top of all of that. I run it solo with one VA, and most of my week goes into writing, teaching, and figuring out how to grow it without losing the warmth that got people through the door. So yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've always loved is you said, Ange, I want to keep this community growing and I want to scale the community, which you've done so well, but you're like, I cannot lose the humanness to this. Talk a little bit about what that means to you.
I think what it means is just being relatable. And with the resurgence or the explosion of AI onto our landscape, which that horse has bolted. And there's a lot of AI generated content out there. I think people are more than ever now returning back to human. You can't AI what I do in terms of sewing content, I don't believe. Showing people how to sew, and you can't AI human reality. Like, people come to me because I will sit in my stories in my granddad's dressing gown with no makeup on and tell them some truths or drop some mic bombs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's what most people come to me for. They like that I'm grounded. They like that I'm down to earth, which isn't anything I do consciously. I was late diagnosed autistic and ADHD. So I think like my autism of just no filter comes through strong, and I can't control that, but people seem to like it most of the time.
And I'm with you about AI, as I've said on this podcast before, it has its place 100%. But I do believe when we're already in a trust recession that people want human connectiveness more than ever before. And when you're doing something like sewing, just like business, can be quite lonely. So when you've brought your community together to do monthly sewing experiments or projects together, I think it's a beautiful thing and people feel that warmth from you. So good on you for keeping in the forefront the humans, because not all businesses in this space at the moment are doing that. So well done.
Thank you.
Now, before we started working together, let me rewind. You've talked a little bit about where your business is now, how it's all getting fed with YouTube channel into community, your expos, et cetera. But before we start working together, let's rewind a bit. Now, tell me where your business actually was then. What were some of the challenges you were potentially facing, like revenue, confidence, visibility, pricing? What was really going on behind the scenes before you start working with me?
What's the time limit on this podcast? Look, this was not my first business. So I had a business previously where I was a wedding and event stationery vendor. So my background is graphics, and I had worked in that industry for 15 years or something. But I really loved creating. I've always been creative. And I really loved the entrepreneur side of things. I think back then, not knowing I was autistic, I came up against a lot of challenges in the workplace, just with interacting with people that, again, I never really understood. And to be honest, I still don't, but I try. So working on my own was always easier, something that came naturally. So with that business, it was the gateway to my life, really. But I'm very lucky that I had a supportive partner who supported me leaving a full-time income to pursue that first business, which didn't really go anywhere. And he likes to say that it failed, but I've corrected him a number of times, and he doesn't say it anymore. But I'm like, I didn't fail. It just didn't go any further. Because I learned so much in that business. And it was really the precursor to engaging with you, because whilst I still made sure I networked and I understood very quickly how important that was and how lonely entrepreneurship can be. My husband used to come home from work and I'd just attack him. How's your day? What did you do? You know, oh, give me a minute. So, you know, I did have business friends that I could talk to and things like that, but I was very much in my own way. I didn't know what I didn't know. And when I decided that I was going to do this business, and I didn't start doing this to actually be a business, I just did it because I was liking it. But when I said to my husband, I'm like, I think I want to make a go of this, I very quickly was like, I need a business coach, because I knew myself and I just knew that I would not keep on track. I would sabotage myself. And my husband knew that pattern too. He's like, you do so well at getting a business to the point where everything's starting to move, and then you take your foot off the gas and everything falls away. And he's like, I'm happy to support you, but you can't keep going like that, because otherwise you might as well go pack shelves at Coles. We as a family cannot keep supporting that, because we as a family are going to financially suffer. And that's a tough conversation, but he's 100% right. And for better or worse, I love him. And that's when I started looking into coaches, and it didn't bother me whether it was male or a female, but I even messaged you on the weekend. I cannot believe how fate came to bring us together, because I would not be where I am today without you. And it's so much is about mindset, which I didn't know at the time. And that's something you really teach us. My revenue was abysmal, and I didn't really know anything about money and revenue. My confidence, yes, I knew how to get in front of a camera, and I didn't, I was eager to learn. I'm not afraid to have a go, but I didn't know what to do with that energy and that eagerness. It was, oh, okay. And self-worth. Oh, will people pay me to do things? Am I experienced enough? There's people that know me better. Is someone going to call me out on that I don't know this technique or that I've taught this technique wrong? So I think it's not just the business coaching. It's so much to do with the mindset and the network you come together with people. And I'm still friends with quite a few of the women in the mastermind. And we've gone on to create our own peer masterminds because business friends are not like normal friends. It's just
very different.
Yeah. And it's just, I was very overwhelmed at the start, eager, but green and naive.
Absolutely. But again, I always say to people is you can't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 30. And what was, like you said, I like the word eager that you use because you had enthusiasm and eagerness and a willingness to go, yep. You put your ego aside and was like, I don't know what I don't know, but I think I've got something tangible here. Can you help? Which leads me into my next segue, which is when you originally came to me on our discovery call, I said, what is your goal? What do you want in life? What do you want in business? What does your revenue look like? And you said, I'd love to be able to do $100,000 a year in business. But you came to me and you said, yeah, but I've got a $3 a month membership. And I was like, do you mean per person? What do you mean? We looked at this and I was like, how am I going to help this? Do you mean amazing human? And so on that discovery call, I remember sitting down and doing the math with you. And I said something along the lines, like in order to hit 100K a year, you would roughly need 2,777 reoccurring monthly members. And I was like, this business model and the current strategy you're using isn't going to work. It's going to need to shift. So what was that moment like for you when you realized, oh shit, this model might not be sustainable and I am going to have to do something different?
I think there's probably a lot going on. A lot would have been imposter syndrome, so much imposter syndrome. And it would have been, but how can I charge more? Plus comparison, other people are charging this, or stories that I was telling myself, no one's going to pay more than this for that when it's free out on YouTube. So it definitely was a bit of a wake-up call. But again, I think I probably came in not knowing much was in some ways, I think, a blessing.
Yes.
Because I probably didn't realize how much work I had ahead of me, but it was the eagerness. I was just like, yep, okay, let's see what we can do. But I also liked that you would often help me realize what was shiny object syndrome too, because you've realized pretty quickly that if you said, why don't you go and do this? I would go and devote all my energy to doing that and I'd forget about everything else. So it was the guidance of, yes, we can do this, but don't forget about trying to put these foundations in place as well. So I think I probably came with a wish and a hope.
Yes.
And you helped me craft it into foundations and a sustainable model to move forward if I was willing to still put the work in.
There was anywhere, and you continue to do, which I just absolutely love continuing to see you shine. So listen, there again, how long is the podcast? Not long. So, but there was lots of different things that I helped you with, from foundations to pricing, etc. But there is one particular strategy that I said, Megan, based on your ideal audience, who are people who are amazing sewists from around the world, I think there's one thing that we can do that, well, at least we can test, and we won't know unless we test it. And that strategy shifted, in my opinion, I'd love to hear yours too, that from a $3 membership model into what has already generated you $125,997. So walk three, like tell people, what was that strategy that we came up with? And why do you think it's worked so well for you?
So the strategy was moving to online expos.
Or they may also, just for those out there, online expos, or another word is summit. It depends summit. On, do you mean what niche you're in?
Yes. Yeah. So essentially a gathering of experts that people come in to listen in one place. And I originally had the idea when I was at your first Bali retreat, actually. And I had been speaking with a man in a pool, and I had this idea and I came to you and you're like, yep, let's run with it. And we really fleshed it out from there. It was a big thing for me because I had never organized anything that big before. And at the time I was actually also going through quite a invasive and intense lung surgeries for my asthma. So I remember when I spoke to you and I said, I think I want to do this before the end of the year. And you were like, you don't have time. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? You were like, these are the things you need to do. So I put it off until the start of the next year, but I had started to put some things into place. And yeah, you just guided me through all the things that I needed to do. We pulled it off in about 6 weeks, I think it was. And it just changed the
What is that? Trajectory? Yeah,
yeah.
I can't. Trajectory. Yes.
Trajectory.
Is that, I feel like we're doing word scavenge. Yes. Trajectory. Yeah. Yes.
The path of my business. Let's go with that.
Yes.
To what it is today. It was really the turning point. And I'm not sure I would probably still be sitting here if we hadn't have landed on that model.
Absolutely. So just for those that are out there, an online summit or an online expo is something that you can do from a global perspective. It doesn't just have to be based on a particular, like obviously Megan lives in Australia, and that was the thing. Megan's got an international and global audience. So it's like, what can we do to tap into this global audience plus the network that Megan already has? So by coming up with this summit, she was able to then again organize a handful of speakers that were becoming the experts. You then get a ticket to go in these particular episodes. I know you tested it live once with the speakers and then you went to pre-recorded. And then people can also buy a VIP ticket, where it's a little bit more cost effective. But ultimately, you're doing a strategy like this to be able to do top of funnel, getting
yes.
more people into your ecosystem that become aware of you, educated about what you do, and then eventually buy from you. And this strategy can work really well if you've got your funnel and your product suite already in place and you understand your value ladder, which were all things that we had worked on with Megan. So I genuinely believe that this summit could work well. And so let's unpack the summit strategy a little bit more, Megan, because I think this is where people will really start to understand the power of simplicity, repetition, and refining what works. So let's look at the numbers for your first three summits. And then we'll talk about the last three summits and what was one of our biggest changes we did going into Summit 4 or Expo 4. So let's just look at numbers. And I don't want to get into all of your numbers because there's quite a few, but let's just look at tickets sold for the first Expo you did in March. How many people did you get signed up for that?
So for March 2024, I sold a total tickets of 2,140. And of those was 281 VIP tickets. So the initial expo we did, it was free to join, or it was a $37 USD upgrade to VIP, which included a swag bag of products that the speakers had, digital products the speakers had donated, plus they got longer to watch the replays. They got 12 months to watch the replays instead of, I think it was just the week of the expo. Part of the reason that I did it as well was because I was having a growing international audience. Being in Australia, it's so far away. I didn't have the luxury of going to a lot of the in-person events that the US have access to. So this was my opportunity to bring something to the Australians and invite the rest of the world along.
It was great. Like you said, so for the very first expo, you were able to grow your list by 2,104, and your revenue for this particular expo was, do you want to tell everyone?
So the combined revenue was 19,824.
Yep, absolutely. So, and this again is just top of funnel, and they can buy other things from Megan later on, but this was strictly what she made from just pulling experts together, having a VIP ticket and people buying from her. So this was great. But then we're like, hold on. October 2024. So that was March 2024. We're like, let's do this two times a year. And so you did one in October 2024. You had a few things going on still. The surgeries were still happening at that stage, correct?
They had finished, but I realized after the first one that my mental health and my stability could not sustain two lives a year. I liked the idea of the summit and I could see the value, but I decided the October one, I would move to a pre-recorded model. So same idea, but there was no live piece to it.
Yep. And so then in October 2024, how many total tickets did you sell?
So in October, I sold 2,071. 204 of those were VIP tickets. And I had half the amount of speakers as well. So I think the March I had 15, and in the October I had seven. So what do we have?
Yep, perfect. And your total revenue for this particular expo?
Was 16,949.
Perfect. One of the other things that we added here, now that you already had one underway, we said, let's also look at sponsorship. So not
Yes.
only could Megan make money off of this by selling a VIP ticket, but I was like, there are going to be people who will pay for you to access your audience. So we also then created a sponsorship kit, put together your data, and then we were able to get that in. And I know that made up almost $3,000 of the revenue from this one. So I hope you're seeing, as the listener out there, there's so many benefits that can come by having a summit. Sponsorship, additional revenue. You then also have your top of funnel, you're growing your email list, and you're making money while doing it versus a free webinar where you're not making money and you're potentially losing money, right? So then we go into March 2025. You've gone from 2,100 roughly tickets sold on the first one, 2,000 roughly sold on the second one. We go to March 2025. We've kept everything roughly the same, did we not, Megan? It was still free plus the VIP. And how many people did you get into this particular event? If you're a woman navigating life after divorce and wondering what to do with your financial future, then you're going to want to meet one of the most amazing humans, Sally Prowse. Sally's a Sydney-based mortgage broker with over 20 years in the industry, and she specifically specializes in helping women rebuild financial confidence, borrow smarter, and create real wealth through strategic property and lending. Her take: financial independence is not about earning more, it's about structuring smarter. Make sure you run, not walk, to connect with Sally at sandcastlefinance.com.au. Again, you can connect with the amazing Sally at sandcastlefinance.com.au.
This one, I had 3,863 people register, and 210 of those were VIP tickets.
Yep. And what was your total revenue that you made for this particular one?
21,288.
Yep, absolutely. So again, we're slowly increasing the revenue. But it was after this one that I said, Megan, I said, these are working. We know they're working. I said, and they're working from a front end, top of funnel perspective. But I was like, we should be converting more of these people. So at this stage, three, four, five, six, seven, you've almost got 7,500 new people on your email list. I said, we should be able to convert more of your courses and things post the event. And we were seeing it in drips and drabs, but not pretty substantial. So I said, Megan, I need you to trust me. I'm going to give you another suggestion. You've tested this, you know it works, but I need us to test something else. And you looked at me with your eyes with dark doom and gloom. And now you're like, oh God, here goes Ange again. I could see it. Your facial expression was giving it to me. And I said, instead of doing free tickets plus the paid VIP ticket, would you be willing to do a pay what you can? So we're at least getting them to take one small micro commitment, even if it's only $5. What were your thoughts when I gave that suggestion to you?
Definitely, there was hesitation and imposter syndrome, and people aren't going to pay that. I've spent three expos building that this is free and I want it to be accessible for everyone, and the cost of living is more expensive, and all those excuses I gave myself. But the data wasn't lying too. That one in March, I had almost double what I'd had the previous year, but my revenue had only increased 2,000. So I was like, something's broken. The trend was essentially going down. I was getting more people in and making less. So I was like,
Yes.
we got to make, I was willing to give it a try. And being that it was still low cost entry and being able to front load some of that cost, I was like, okay, let's give it a go.
Yep. And so you did. And for people who are driven by numbers, this data is going to go a little crazy. So you went from 3,863 people sign up for the free ticket and the VIP in March. In October, we charge a pay what you can and the VIP ticket. And then how many people did you have buy tickets?
So I had almost a quarter, which was 970 signed up. And this is for the pre-recorded one. It wasn't a live one.
Yep.
But I had a 40% uptake of the VIP.
Yes.
So 406 people bought VIP compared to the previous March, which was only a 5.4% uptake. And do you want me to tell them what the
Yeah,
revenue
and what
was?
was the revenue?
So the combined revenue was 38,873, so almost double with a quarter of what my attendees were.
Exactly. So this is, I was like, all right, we've hit something. And you're like, Ange, I can't believe that this launch, this is crazy. You're like, and again, it was only $5, pay what you can. Because my whole philosophy was like, it doesn't matter if you have an email list of 10,000 if nobody's buying from you. But if they're at least paying $5 a pay what you can, we know that they're committed to sewing. They're committed to you and what you're teaching, which means they're more likely, if they've already given you your credit card once, they're more likely to give it you to you again at some stage. So I was like, this was a significant, you know, confirmation that this was working. And like you said, but if you would have let your ego get in the way, Megan, and you're like, oh, I only had 970 people versus almost 4,000, and you were looking at the vanity metrics, you would have lost almost $17,000 in revenue because of our ego. So when you do these strategies, guys, you've got to make sure that you aren't checking your ego at the door. So you did that, Megan. You pushed through, you saw the results, and then you pushed a little bit more in March this year. So you increased the pay what you could from $5 to what?
Seven.
$7. Yep. So not a lot, but enough to still get them to pay. And how many people did you have attend this expo?
So this latest one in March, I had 743. The VIP conversion jumped a little bit. So
Huh?
even though I had less people, I still converted VIPs at a basically a 46%. So 341 tickets. And the combined revenue was 29,063. So whilst on paper it was a little bit less, there was some external things. There was some checkout issues I had at time. And
Yes.
I'm beginning to wonder if the time of year. Perhaps I'm even contemplating flipping the March, doing the live in October and the pre-recorded in March,
Yes.
because historically it looks like the October gets more people. So, yeah,
Yes.
so still some more things to test, but definitely it made a massive difference.
So this, my friends, is when you work with a business consultant who can look at things through a different lens, allows people the opportunity to try new things, test new things. But one of the things that I've always commended Megan on is that data. I'm like, Megan, make sure you're tracking this data, because if we can't track the data, we can't then make better informed decisions later on as to whether or not we keep this or we let this go. And so we've still at this stage seen that the expos are still a viable part of your overall business that contributes to your yearly revenue. So I think it's been a great thing. What would you say has been your biggest takeaway from shifting to this?
That's a big question. Trust, which is actually my 2026 word. And just to give it a go, like it really, if you can pull together just a few people, it can make a big difference. I would also say that having affiliates of your expos or summits is super important. That accounted for a lot of my revenue that came through was the people helping me promote
Yes.
it. So yeah, so there's definitely, it's endless in terms of what you can do with it. But it is what has helped me move forward in my business and give me my highest revenue year to date.
Which has been fantastic. And the other thing is, like I said, it's not just what happens then. It's now you've got an email list of almost 10,000 people, because I know you clean your list up on a regular basis, that you can now continue to market to post this event. But the opportunities too is you've built some really great relationships with some of these speakers, and you guys have ongoing partnerships. And if you've been in my space or listened to the podcast, you know I did 121 global partnerships back in 2023, and it is amazing. Megan continues to do that by having guest speakers on or guest experts, and then they continue to explore different ways to work with each other. So, as Megan said, I believe the opportunities are endless.
And that was something you really opened my eyes to as well. Previously, I probably would have, if I had done this on my own, I would have been like, okay, thanks, great. That's it, walk away. But you send a post-event survey and I'm like, do you want to continue working together? What do you have a podcast? Do you have a YouTube? Are there opportunities? And the experts that I do get along well with, I will continue those relationships and say, hey, do you want to work in something else? I'm always happy to give back to them. One of the speakers actually asked me to promote her course and be an affiliate. And I'm like, absolutely, I would love to. You've helped me. I'm more than happy to scratch your back too. So it's,
Yep.
yeah, opened me up a lot.
Yep. And ongoing, now that you've got that confidence built and you can see the benefit of the partnerships, you're so good at outreach and building new relationships with people. So again, I know it's another strategy that you've got to look at, because there's only three ways to gain visibility: organic, partnerships, and paid. But partnerships can do a tremendous thing. And Megan was able to do that with this particular strategy.
And the other thing I'll say is one of Andrew's favorite sayings, the fortune is in the follow-up. Like, don't let ego and pride and whatever self-talk you've got get in the way of reaching out two or three times, sometimes four, because people are busy. They're just busy. They're not ignoring you on purpose. And if they are, after the third or fourth time, you go, okay, and you file it for it didn't work. But I think, yeah, making sure you follow up is just so important.
And often I say too, is just because it's a no now doesn't mean it's a no forever. And exactly. As you said, Megan, is that sometimes shit just goes in the spam box.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the follow-up might be reaching out to them via Instagram, reaching out to them via Facebook, saying, like, hey, I sent you a message. Did you get it? And they're like, oh my goodness, absolutely not. Let me go check. And they're like, it was in spam. Can I get back to you? So just know that you've got to get a bit of a backbone here and be able to take a no, but just know that it has nothing to do with you. If you look at Amy Porterfield, Stu McLaren, and Marie Folio and them, a lot of them already have their launches and their promotional calendars and marketing planned out 12 to 18 months ahead of time. So it might just be like, hey, we're literally, everything's planned for the year. I can't. Cool. No worries. Would love to still stay in touch. So there's so many beautiful things just by reaching out to people.
Yeah, 1,000%.
When you think back since working with me, what do you think was the biggest internal shift you had to make to create this level of growth that you have?
Mindset.
Yep. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what that looks like?
Mindset from, it's not about the vanity metrics. It's never really about what you think it's about. You can think the reason you're not progressing is because you're not, I don't know, talking to the right people, but it's so much more than that. It's being open to change. It's being open to growth. It's being open to being uncomfortable. I think that's probably one of the biggest things. It's being uncomfortable, because that's where the biggest growth happens as well. And yeah, just really trying different things and refining, like you spoke about before. I could have pushed back and said, no, I really want to make this accessible to everyone and not do, maybe it'll change. But I can probably guarantee that October Expo, I might have had 7,000 people and 6,500 of them were tire kickers.
Yep.
Bloating my list so that I was then paying more for my list.
Absolutely.
And never getting anything from them. So yeah, I'm very much happy to have made the change and helped, and have you helped me see what truly matters, I guess, in terms of moving the needle forward. And yeah.
100%. And like you said, you go, who wouldn't go, oh my goodness, I had almost 4,000 and now I've only got 990 or whatever. Right. But you're like, numbers, let the smaller group of people be your raving, like your number one raving fans, right? You don't need more. You just need them to continue to rave about you, talk about you, spread the wealth for you, et cetera. And that's what, again, because you treat them like humans, Megan, I do believe people continue to support you at the rate and pace that they do, because they know you're just a good human and they're happy to spruce that. So again, people will always pick up on that energetically.
I think it's the 10X versus 2X as well. 2X decision would have been to keep it open to everyone. The 10X was to cut the tire kickers.
100%. And if you haven't read one of my favorite books in the whole wide world, which I talk about all the time, is 10X is easier than 2X, which is what Megan's talking about, is you can keep making 2X decisions, but 80% of your business will remain the same. Or you make 10X decisions and you're going to have to cut 80% of what you do, but you will get the rewards in it substantially. That's what Megan did. She knew what the 10X move was, even though it was uncomfortable, and the numbers show for that. Now, as we start to wrap up, my friend, what would you say was one of your favorite things of working with me over 3 years as your business consultant and coach?
Having you in my back pocket, so being able to reach out to you and say, hey, I'm having this issue, or I needed to talk through this idea, having you pull me back on track when I got stuck in procrastinating. So, you know, oh, I'm going to go and do this. And you'd be like, well, how does that impact your bottom line? Is this a nice to have, or are you going to do it? Helping me work through fears. I remember I broke down in tears on one of the calls because I was doing all my own, video editing. And you had said, this is taking up a lot of your time. It was taking me at least a day and a half to edit my videos. And you're like, you can outsource this for much cheaper and also free up your time. And at that stage, I think I already had my VA, but I was really resistant to getting a video editor because to me, more than two people meant a team. And I didn't think I was worthy of having a team. I was like, no, I'm not that person. I can't have a team. That's like a real person has team. And yeah, I remember I broke down in tears about that, which surprised me because I didn't realize how emotional I was about it. But I hired a video editor and I've had a few since then. And it was life-changing again because it freed up time to go and do the work that doesn't make me any money. No, that's not true.
Exactly right. Yeah. Because either you keep doing that and you no longer really step into the CEO role, or you outsource that, you not only make money, but you also gain back your time to then be able to do and think bigger things.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't just helping me realize a lot of things about myself. It was then the network, like I mentioned before, I still have friends in so many different industries. A lawyer we spoke about before, I reached out to when I was having some lawyer questions, and just people that you've formed these relationships with, and you can't talk with your partner a lot of the time if they're employed about being a business owner because they don't get it. They want to, they can be as supportive as they like, but yeah, I would talk to you because I knew you would get it.
Yeah.
I didn't always agree, and that's fine.
Totally.
We have different ways of doing things as well, and I didn't always do what you told me to do. But yeah, having someone that I could just reach out to and go, hey, I'm having a really bad day, and I'm not sure what to do here. What are your thoughts? And you were really good. You never really, you would tell me what to do, but you often would make me work for it, which you said from the start, you don't want us to work with you forever. So from the very start, you were training me to think for myself and not rely on you forever, because otherwise it would be a dependent relationship and I wouldn't have grown as much as I did. And I appreciated that.
And it's a big thing that I say in discovery calls, et cetera, is I'm not here to gatekeep the information that you need. I want you to be able to take this information and be a business coach yourself one day. And if I am keeping you in my ecosystem, then I'm not actually, in my opinion, being a good consultant and coach, because you need to fly the nest and go and make your own mistakes. But of the people that I've worked with, most people stay with me on average for 2.5 years. And most people, 50% of all people who've ever worked with me come back within 18 months for either a one-off session, a conference, a retreat, or whatever. So that's always, it always makes me smile.
And look, I didn't always like when you didn't tell me the answer and you made me think about it. but I think you're also pretty good at gauging that too. That's something else that I really liked. As much as you've got a number of clients, you still kept your finger on what we were all doing, and all the advice that you gave was personalized, and it didn't matter that I was a sewing educator and someone else was an email consultant and someone else was a lawyer. The business, like, it's transferable, a lot of the things. Just, and I, as someone who is autistic and needs to hear things in a few different ways, I liked being on the hot seat calls, because you might be saying the same advice to the next person, but you say it to them differently. And it might have landed better for me when you were telling them. So yeah, it was the community as well was a huge part of what I enjoyed.
Dude, awesome. I love that. And I love you to bits, you know that. Now, for those listening out there who may be on the fence about investing, whether or not it's in me or another support or another coach or another strategy, what would you say to them for those sitting on the fence?
Absolutely do it. You don't know what you don't know. We are so good at getting in our own way. We are also extremely biased on our habits and businesses. It often needs someone to take a step back and look at it holistically to see gaps. And yes, you pay for it. And look, I'm not going to lie, I invested a lot of money in you, Ange.
Yep.
But I got there quicker. I could have gone at it myself alone and looked at free things, but it probably would have taken me at least twice as long. And as I reach 40 this year, I don't want to waste time doing that. I'm here to make money. I'm not here to just have a good time and be a charity. So it sped up my business growth progression.
100%. And I've noticed that myself firsthand. It's, you can still do it on your own, but you just have to be okay with it being slower. And if you're okay with it being slower, that's okay. But if you're not, typically investing is going to help you.
Yeah, now, I was not okay with it being slow.
No, most of us aren't. Now, my last question to you as you start to wrap up is, what do you know now in business that you wish you knew when you first started out?
That's such a loaded question. How much your business success and personal peace, I would say, is impacted by mindset. How important mindset is on how you show up for a business day, how you move forward. And I don't just mean like sitting down with a smile on your face. Mindset in knowing that it can get better, but it's up to you. Being resourceful to find the tools that you need and having people to lean on when the storm gets a bit rough. So that mindset to be adaptive and that it's not all about revenue.
I love it.
I probably thought it was mainly about revenue when I first started, but mindset, 1,000%.
And that's the thing. People just look at the funnel as the strategy, but my opinion is your nervous system and your mindset is also equally the strategy. We just are told that it isn't. So for me is if your mind, mental health, spiritual health, physical health is not firing at the capacity we need it, it doesn't matter what strategy I give you because you will self-sabotage, which is just a form of self-protecting, and you will get nowhere. So to me, it's 100% part of the strategy.
Yep.
Fantastic. As we start to wrap up, as I always say, it was an absolute pleasure working with you for the 3 years that we have, and we continue to remain friends outside of the relationship as a business consultant and coach. I love your work. I love seeing what you do, and I can only ever continue to wish you the very best. If there's any final words you'd like to say on the podcast in regards to what it was like to work with me, forever hold your peace, my friend. Anything else?
No, look, I think you talk about me being a real person. You're a very real person too. So yeah, you don't hold back. And I liked that too. That was just, if you need to work with someone, I 100% always recommend you. And trust yourself that you are allowed to invest in yourself too.
100%. All right, my friend, I hope you have a beautiful day. Give those beautiful kids a hug and that husband who I know has a love-hate relationship with me.
What's Ange telling you
what
now?
What is Ange telling you now? Give Chris a warm hug also. All right, thanks so much, my friend. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.